Good evening, everyone. It's so nice to see you all out. I'll just pray again. Our Father, we thank you so much we can draw near and just open your word and speak from it, Lord. It is such a divine book, Lord, such truth that we need, Lord, that works, that can work in us and through us, Lord, and just you can speak to us. And just thank you so much, Lord, that we need thy word to guide us for protection from false teaching, Lord, and from many things that we are so easy to fall into or go astray, Lord. Thank you so much. We have thy word. You have not left us on our own, Lord. You have spoken to us in a great book, a big book, Lord. We just pray that you will speak tonight to us, to our hearts, and bless, Lord, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, amen. So what's been on my heart is, well, before I read, I want to say I did leave my notes at home, so bear with me. I didn't leave them at home. I couldn't print them, so because of lack of Wi-Fi, I went out a couple of days ago, so bear with me. I'll try and go with what the Lord has given in my heart. I do have something on my phone, so I'll try and go off of that, but a message that's been on my heart is actually something I've recently, just a few days ago, that I've been considering and thinking about. But it's not just something a few days ago. This goes back from the past year and a half, 2 years. Different portions of scriptures that just seemed to come together as I was reading this past week. And so what I'm really thinking about is the subject of the gospel, of living the gospel. So our lives, not just how when we were saved, but the same truth of when we were saved at the moment of salvation, the things that were true at the moment of our salvation, continuing on in our Christian life, those same things being true. And you can see as the different portions of scriptures that I want to read are things that you can see have been under those truths of salvation, those truths of our receiving Christ the moment we were saved, those elements that were true. Satan comes along and tries to get us off of those and to make us powerless in our Christian walk. The very moment we were saved, the things that were powerful, it completely liberated us. We were gloriously saved and knowing Christ and being in a relationship with the Father in a new way, a living way. And everything was so exciting and so new. And why often, and I know I speak from experience for myself, but also I've talked to many believers and they feel the same way. And why do we often sometimes go off? And of course, there's a need for growth and for depth and for learning God in a different way when trials come. But there's some of the key elements that often the enemy has in the scriptures, and we're not ignorant of his devices. It is the same one that attacks the believer in the same principles, the same things that he attacked the early church in. And I want to read tonight in three different epistles I've been considering. And we'll start reading in Galatians, but we're considering Galatians and aspect in Colossians and in Thessalonians as well. Three different aspects of something that I've been considering here. So hopefully it's a help to us. So reading Galatians 3, and we'll read at verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And that's going to be our reading for now. The things I've been thinking about, this is a very important portion of Scripture in Galatians. So Paul, initially in chapter 1, Paul goes right in, and there's one church that he doesn't even commend. He goes right in, and he's very firm And as you can see, Paul is built up with passion, something that is very real to him and very dear to him, the message of the gospel, of the truth of the gospel, not only the gospel in preaching, the initial preaching of the gospel, the message of the gospel, it is also the living the gospel. So you can see it's a correlation between the two, because Paul says, at the start, says, how turned you so soon? I'm amazed that you so soon turned away from him, from God. So it's turning away from a person and the message, from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another. In chapter 1, Paul speaks about it. It's not another gospel. So how is it God? He knew that these people that he's speaking about, they were saved. They had accepted, they had received. That which was, he even says, that which ye have received. When the first message came to you with power, you received it. And you received it and you were saved by it. And he says, I'm amazed that you're so soon turned away unto another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel. Now they were turned back to law keeping, back to performance based Christianity. So we might say, we have a pure gospel. I believe here in the assemblies, we do have a pure gospel, very pure, clean gospel that is very clear from the scriptures, very accurate, and the message is clear, very clear from the scriptures. But I do often wonder, for salvation that is very clear, but for our sanctification, that is what Paul is bringing in here, is there's a sanctification for a sanctifying life. The same element that was true when we were saved, and the portion we're reading here of when we were saved needs to be the same way of life, needs to be lived out, is that the liberty that came when we were saved, the truth of faith in Christ, the message that came to us. And you can see here, it says there in verse 2, he says, this only, he says, would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So Paul goes right back. So my message today is, I want to tie it to living the gospel, living in the gospel. But what I want to say is how is all three different, in Galatians, in Colossians, and in Thessalonians, I want to speak about something that is receiving when we were saved and continuing. So receiving of what we were saved, that message that we were saved, but also continuing in that same truth, or whatever it is that is the subject of this. Here it is, faith, living in faith. He says here, this only would I learn of you, received. How did you receive, Paul says. So you're now turning away to another gospel. You're turning back to law-based Christianity, back to performance-based, and back to, they went back to Judaism, back to the law, and for a means of right standing with God, to maintain your salvation. And Paul says, no, you're going back to bondage. Chapter 4, he speaks about how he turned you so soon back to the beggarly elements, back to bondage, to where you desire, going back to before when you were saved. You were held in that, Paul says, before you were saved, you were kept under it. It was necessary. The law was necessary. Paul explains there in chapter 3 later on. He says the law was necessary. Our relation to the law was necessary before we were saved. Because, I mean, it says before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which afterwards should be revealed. So we were kept under. It says, wherefore the law was our tutor unto Christ. So we're kept under the law before. So it was necessary before we were saved. But it was a relationship now. So Paul says before faith, and then he says, but after faith. But after that faith is come. What is the answer now? We are no longer under a schoolmaster, under the tutor. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ. It has done its purpose. It has brought us, it has kept us till Christ, till faith comes. And then once faith has come, we have now children of God. It has done its work. Christ is now, we're in Christ. And we have this glorious standing in Christ. And now he says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And they would have been able to remember When we got saved, it was by the hearing of faith. And it is a wonderful portion there in Cornelius. I was thinking of this, how utterly apart from works is hearing a message and believing. It's almost like, just like back in when it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is the idea of just beholding, just looking or hearing, receiving. It's just, you don't have to do anything. It's sitting in your seat, wherever you are, just receiving the message, accepting it. And that's the Spirit of God. He says here in Acts 10, verse 44, it talks about Peter. It says, or Cornelius says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the gospel, proclaiming Christ to these Gentiles, Cornelius, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So you can see this is something you can read in history of where this actually happened. In this narrative there in Acts 10, where it actually, as they heard, it says, those that heard the word, the Holy Ghost fell. They received the Spirit as they received Christ. And that's how they were saved. So Paul is now saying, how turn you back to something that were your before, you were kept in bondage, back to performance-based, to maintain your relationship, back to these beggarly elements. He says, when you've received the Spirit by faith, and he says here, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish, he says to them, having begun in the Spirit, so that's why I'm saying receiving, and now, continuing. So he says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you now being maintained, being made righteous, being maintained righteous in his sight by the flesh? No, Paul says, it is maintained in the same way as when you were received it. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles, so he ministers, supplies to you the Spirit and presently works miracles amongst you. Paul says, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? By the same law, by the hearing of faith. So Paul says in verse 2 and verse 5 are similar. He says he also does it by hearing of faith. Just like they received, they continue. So that's what I want to encourage us, our hearts, because often we can go back and forth and know, just go back to the moment you were saved, how liberated you were. And Paul says, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made you free. So my first one is faith, living by faith. And you can see here in verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself, trusting in him, living in him. So here, and then I'll just, because of the sake of time, I'm going to go to the next one. I can't elaborate too much on this one. The next one is in Colossians chapter 2, please. If you can turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, and we'll read, for connection, we will read verse 4. Colossians 2, verse 4 says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6 is the one I'm thinking of, and 7. It says, as ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the rudiments of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head over all principality and power. And then he goes on to speak of how we were put into Christ, how we became part of him. So that is the verse, and I'm thinking again, notice verse 6. So remember I said earlier, receiving and continuing. Earlier is receiving the Spirit by faith, by the hearing of faith, and continuing by the hearing of faith, by living in faith. The just shall live by faith. The just, that's the emphasis there, live by faith. So here, this one is Christ. Which was true at salvation is faith was a key element of when we were saved. We trusted Christ. We heard a message. We received the message by faith, by trusting in him. And that's how we continue. To this present day, we continue. But this year in Colossians, the emphasis is Christ. We receive, as you have therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So Paul here is saying, as in Colossians, see, back in Galatians, the law came in, and it kind of pushed away faith. Faith became the secondary. Whereas, and if law was actually, and Paul is very earnest there, but here in Colossians, the sufficiency of Christ for the believer's walk for his life is under attack. And so there you can see in Colossians, there's a number of different false teachings that came in Colossians. And the believers were taught that Christ was, that to get, and again, to maintain or to get a better standing before God, there's different angels. There's different hierarchy of angels, and Christ is just one of them. And they're starting to worship angels, and Christ is just kind of one of them. And there's also penance. You can see there's a neglecting of the body, or like, there's some different will worship and kind of a penance in a way to maintain your everything outside of Christ. Christ is not sufficient for our life, for our holiness. As you can see, there's a number of different, there's the Jewish traditions. There is worshiping of angels. There's all these different things that Colossians, the Gnostics, different teaching. But here, Paul is starting off in Colossians. It starts off with how Christ is not just another angel. He starts off with, by him in creation, in chapter 1, he speaks of how he is the firstborn of all creation. He speaks of how he is in Christ, it says, who is the image of the invisible God. He is not just another angel. He's bringing off the supremacy of Christ, the glory of Christ, how great he is. And he is not just, and to go against the teaching, the false teaching that we're going to beguile the believers, to deceive them and carry them away to being useless, to being something that is false. So he's quickly correcting them and saying how Christ is sufficient. He is great. He says he is the image of the invisible God, a firstborn of every creature. So he says, for by him were all things created. He is the creator. He's not just another angel. He's not just another one of many. He is in rank. He is supreme. He is a creator. He's not just another man. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, even angelic beings. He created them. And he says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Not only by him, he is the source, but for him. He is the purpose of why they were created. So here it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things have their consist. And there you can see there in Hebrew, the Hebrew writer says, he says, upholding all things by the word of his power. Here in Colossians, he says, by him all things consist, by Christ, the person of Christ. Though he was a man, glorious, a God manifest in the flesh, fully God, truly man, in every aspect. Yet he is not just a man. He is not just an angel. He's not another angel. He is God himself. So he is saying there he is. And not only is he this, but he's also first in rank, first over creation, but also first in redemption. He's the first one in redemption. Paul says in the spiritual realm and in the creation realm, he is first. He says there in verse 17, 18, he says, and he is the head of the body. Now a spiritual entity. No more is just a creator. When it comes to the body, it's very intimate. It's now a new thing. It's not just a creation of creating the elements that seemingly could be potentially a disconnect. He is upholding all these things. He is the creator of all these things, and he is intricately making all these things, and he loves life, and he creates life. But here's a new entity. After redemption, after Calvary, he is now, it says he is the head of the body, the church. So the body is now formed, and he is the head. It is now his own personal body that he cherishes. And there in Ephesians, you can see there's very many parallels. In Ephesians, the body is emphasized, how we are one, members of his body, of his bones, and of his flesh. It says, so we are one with Christ, the person of Christ. And think of a body and how intimate our body is. My finger is not disconnected from my head. And what my head desires a finger to do, it does. I'm designed to move my finger now. It is connected. It is under authority of the head. It is one with the head. It feels with the head. And that is here, he says he is the head of the body. He is the first in rank over the body. So he is great. He's the first in resurrection, firstborn of the dead. There's many that are going to follow him. He has gone before. He is drawing us in heaven. There in Hebrews, it speaks of how he is seated there, and our we're in the veil. Our anchor is cast there, and he's putting many sons to glory. He's going to bring many of us. He is unique. He is the first in rank. There's many sons, and in Galatians, we're reading how there's many. We became adult sons the moment to trust Christ, the moment a child trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes, in the sight of God, an adult son. There's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female nor gender. We're all one in Christ. So we can see here how he is in the body, the intimacy of the body. He is the first in the body. He is a unique son. There's many sons, but he is the unique one. And if for it please the Father, in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ should all fullness dwell. So the reason why the writer is bringing these things in is because to show the greatness of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ. And then when they sort of see the greatness of Christ and their link with him, they will realize all these other things are completely of no use. They're false for our closest to God, for our fruitfulness, all these things. They're of no value, those things. And that's why later on he speaks here. He's bringing verse 9. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So he was Lord. When we received, he was Lord. He was everything. He was Christ Jesus the Lord. The emphasis could be the Lord. So walk ye in him. So walking in Christ, only in Christ. You're one with him. That think about abiding in him. The truth of ye are the branches. Ye are the branches, I am the vine. So you can see how, again, this connection, the body is so intimate with the head. We think of the vine and the branches. It's one. They're connected. It's always a connection. And that is like here you can think of abiding in him, the idea of remaining in him. As we received him, at salvation became everything to us. And we're placed in heavenly places in Christ, the truth of our oneness with Jesus in heaven. With Christ, a new creation in Christ, we were also now to walk in the same way in him. And he says, they're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, in Christ, the person. And what a unit. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. The only way we can ever lose our salvation or be disconnected from him is if he falls, if he fails, and he cannot fail. For all eternity he cannot fail. Believer, get this. And here, later on, it says in verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in him dwells, think about this. He's bringing this in for a purpose. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's full sufficiency in the person. And he says, you might say, that's wonderful that he is fully sufficient there. But he says, no, you are in him. You're linked, he says, and you are complete in him. So can you imagine, in him, for in him, verse 9, in him dwells all this, and it brings in ye in him. There, it says, for ye are complete in him. There in verse 10, which is the head of all principality, of your lack of nothing. And later on in verse 19, it says, not holding fast to the head, from which all the body by joints and veins having nourishment, we have nourishment. It's flowing to us. It's available to us. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. Of his fullness, just as we're just receiving it. We're just receivers. We receive his fullness, and it lives out in us, that the life of Christ, because we're one with him. So here it says, not holding fast to the head, from which, or not going after other things. Everything independent, we're independent of anything else. That's how we were saved. We were one with him. And here we are, continue to abide in the same way, to live in the same way. It says, from having nourishment, ministers and knit together, increases with the increase of God. It increases. Increases life. His life is flowing in us. And I know this is just a wonderful, I haven't had my notes, so I am just trying to make it as clear as I can in this way. These are two things. So earlier in chapter in Galatians, it speaks of how did you receive the Spirit? Continue in the same way is by faith, by the hearing of faith. So that is the element there, is that at salvation, and now we live in the same way, believers. So when you go home, remember, it's not by trying to live, but it's by faith, by the life I now live, Paul says, there in Galatians 2. That's how he lives now. He was crucified to the law. He is dead to the law. The life he now lives on the resurrection ground, he lives differently. It's on the ground of faith. I live by faith in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now here in Colossians, he says, as he received Christ Jesus the Lord, he was everything. Don't go after all these other things. The person, he was number one at salvation. That was the message that we heard. Philip, as he heard the message of Christ, and the Spirit is active when Christ is preached, he lifts up Christ. He says, faith was exercised and was receiving, but Christ was everything. The person, when they were in Christ, that's they're baptized into Christ Jesus. So walk ye in him, the same rule, that Christ is everything. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the object. The Spirit just shows forth Christ. He reveals Christ. He takes the things of Christ, and he says in John 14, he says, and reveals them unto us. He shall take the things that are mine. The Lord Jesus speaks of the Spirit. He shall take what is mine and reveal it unto you. He lifts up Christ. There in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, he says, be we all with unveiled face. Moses, they couldn't even look at Moses' face, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit raises up Christ and shows Christ. He's almost the one behind the scenes that you don't even know it is the Spirit. And he's emphasizing Christ. He's beholding Christ, and he's changing us into Christ, transforming us into Christ as we behold him. So abiding in Christ, that's my second point. Third point is, and I know I'm done, I'm just going to mention it, is there in, it's there in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, again, this is receiving the word of God and continuing in it. So the power of the word of God at salvation, being born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, and it's being born again by it, is the same word that now is we're living in. The Lord Jesus speaks of how in the temptation in the wilderness, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. So there in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard from us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectually works in you that believe. So it's effectively working. How had we received it? The word of God at salvation, the word of God fell, it came, and we're born again by the word. We heard this past weekend from our brother Richard, as he was speaking of, as newborn babes, we were saved by the word. Newborn babes, we continue, we grow by the word. But now we continue by the word, we grow, and we exercise ourselves by the word of God. It is by this which we were born again. So I'm just thinking of this last one. I know I can't spend much time on it. There's so much to speak on this, the word of God, the word of Christ dwelling us richly, the word of Christ, the same word that was preached to us, that we accepted, the vital necessity of it being our everything, our food, our guidance for our growth, for our everything, that we need it, the living word speaking to us. I know the reason why this really became precious to me is just as a story of just recently, of some believers, that there was a voice, they heard a voice. They went on faithfully, new believers, went on faithfully in the word of God, and they were very, very, you might say, seemed grounded in the word of God. They seemed to be very, the word of God is everything. And they had heard it, they had been taught it from the scriptures, even from scriptures itself, the more sure word of prophecy. And they knew it. Even there, Peter speaks about even on the mount, he says to them, we heard him. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we declared unto you the glory and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ on the mount. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But then he says, but ye have a more sure word of prophecy. You might say, man, I would have loved to be there. I would love to see him. Peter says, you've come behind in nothing. You have the word of God, because even there in John says, at the resurrection, for we had not yet known the truth from the scriptures that it was written, that he must rise from the dead. Everything the scripture teaches us is for us to heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would not pass away. Anyways, these believers, they started hearing a voice. One of the believers, a newer believer, and we believe this, he's saved, gloriously saved. He came out of drugs background, but he started hearing voices and listening to these voices. And his voices were very intelligent being, was waiting for the voices and seemed to have gospel content and seemed to have some sort of even knowing people, knowing my brother Daniel's name, speaking of people specifically, trying to urge him to go speak to certain people. And as his voice became very controlling and very demanding, and if he didn't obey it, he felt like he was on a leash. It kind of hurt him in a way. And so the believers started listening to this voice, and his voice became the main word. Instead of listening to the scriptures, his voice gave him kind of direction and prophecy. Even signs from heaven were falling. A star is going to fall in the next little while, and a star fell. And things like that, signs in the heavens. But yet, there's not grounded in the truth of the scripture. So I'm thinking of, and when the believers started not listening to his voice that was controlling them, instead of the pure word of God, they were back to joy again, back to peace, and the sureness of the scriptures. And just thinking of the scriptures, the authority. What is our authority? There in Thessalonians it says how it effectually, it is by the scriptures, how they were born again. But the scriptures that they, when they received it, remember, received at salvation, the word of truth, the gospel, and then now is effectually working. The same gospel, the same word that we were born again by is now living in us. And we need to be guided by it. And our everything is from the scriptures. And think of how there, just one more thing and I'll close. There in Luke 16, a rich man and Lazarus, we think of hell, how he lifted up his eyes in torments and he was in hell. And we think of there, you could say, go back to my brethren. He says, could I just dip your tongue and just put it, just dip your hand in water and your fingertip and put it on my tongue, for I'm tormenting this flame. He's so thirsty. There's a great gulf fixed. No one could span the gap. Forever separated to this day. What an awful place. There's no words to describe it. There's no words to describe such a place. But yet, he says, go back to my brethren and declare to them, show yourself to them. And they don't come back to this place and tell them of this place. And he says, Abram says, they have Moses and the prophets. If they do not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe, though one rise from the dead. So this is the power. They have Moses and the prophets. The scriptures is the power of salvation. A person will not be convinced by signs. Think of Lazarus. For example, Lazarus, the Lord Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And know what it says? Do you think everyone would believe? Some went to the Pharisees, to the scribes and Pharisees, and declared this. They were not changed. They didn't believe in him. Though he did so many miracles amongst them, they did not believe. But the scriptures, born again by the word of God, is able to make alive. It is by the word, born again by the word. The Lord Jesus speaks by the water and by the word. The Spirit and by the Word, there in John 3. So these are three elements, the three things I was thinking of that I hope it made some sort of sense. The three things by faith in Galatians, the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians, the sufficiency of Christ, receiving, continuing, the Word of God, and continuing in it. It being our everything, especially the days, not having itching ears, not just heaping to ourselves something that is not of Christ, not of what the Lord wants. Think of the Old Testament prophets. Many times they were neglected. When people came, they did not want to hear. Think of one of the prophets. He says, no, declare unto me the truth. Not just what he wanted to hear. Micaiah, I think it was. One of the prophets, or to Ahab. And think of, or I might have getting them wrong. It just came to mind right now, that story of, he says, no, give me the word of God. Tell me the truth. He says, not just something I want to hear. And that's something often we need to be changed. I need to be changed. This is something that's very personal to me. So I'm just, this last few days ago, I just came to my attention, just three things that came together, and I just wanted to share them with the saints here. May God bless his precious word to us, I pray.